Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We are signing executive orders like nobody's ever seen before, the greatest orders the world has ever seen. And I could also tell you this, we're looking at some very big ones coming in the future. There's a couple on the list that are doing very well. We also read Crooked Joe's note, and we released some details, but there are a lot of other details in there. But the note was very nice. I can tell you that. It was very nice.
Indeed. What also is very nice is seeing ICE and Tom Homan and federal law enforcement going out there, doing the deportations, you delivering on your promise on day one. And so far, the results, as expected. Your thoughts on Tom Homan, ICE, and the week one that was?
Well, I like my, I have to tell you this, I love my border like I like my Diet Coke, with lots and lots of ice. You know, we have a we have a beautiful amount of bad hombres that have already been arrested. Over 800 bad hombres have already been arrested. And that brings me to my next executive order. I am going to sign an executive order that is going to mandate that CNN place a bad hombres deportation counter live on their network at all times, or they're going to be taken off the air, right? We're going to start to refer to these executive orders as decrees, right? Because the people hate when I rule like a king, but I have a crown. I have a natural crown. You ever see it? I have a natural crown. It's called my hair. It's beautiful. It's a golden, beautiful thing. But we're going to start. We're also thinking of an executive order that will force Woody Johnson to sell the Jets because he's doing a horrible job. He signed, they brought in Aaron Glenn. Look at that. The guy whose defense made a poo-poo in the bed when they needed to against the Washington Redskins, not the Commanders. They're the Redskins. Yeah. We're also signing an executive order to bring back that name, but we're looking at it, right? The Redskins are coming back, and Pocahontas is very upset. But you look at it, we have the bad hombres. They're being rounded up. They're being deported. You have a bad hombre from Haiti who said, Crooked Joe Biden forever. Maybe Crooked Joe will run for president of Haiti if he could find it, right? He probably can't find it. Sent a lot of money there, but he probably can't find it. And this guy we deported from Haiti was saying horrible things about me. You know, he used the F word, filthy mouth, a word that started with F, ended with K, and it was not fire truck. Not a nice thing to say. But we got rid of him, and I wonder how many cats and dogs he ate. But he looked like he ate a lot, right? He was a pretty healthy-looking guy.
Yeah.
But we got rid of him, and we love ICE. We have to say it. ICE, baby. What a tremendous people. What a tremendous organization. And we love Tom Homan, who, I can tell you this, right? He kind of looks like a thumb. You look at him. He looks like a thumb. We call him Thumbs Up, right? Thumb Homan. Beautiful guy. And he's got so many people in the crosshairs. We're going to deport them. And we look at this just like a baseball game when the first 10,000 fans get a bobblehead when they enter the stadium. The first 100,000 bad hombres will get a free Trump bobblehead to remember their time in the United States with. Right? We're going to give them a beautiful bobblehead. If they self-deport, if we have to get them, they don't get the bobblehead. So make a wise decision. That much I can tell you.
I like it. I also love the media blowback over your J6 pardons. Even though J6 was on the ballot, only 5% of Americans that were recently polled thought of January 6th when they hear the name Donald Trump top of mind. You know, the party of letting criminals back on the streets after 47 arrests or 17 convictions has no problem with that, but they're triggered over pardons from you on Jan 6. Your thoughts?
Well, these are stupid people, right? We look at it. They are stupid, very stupid, right? But you look at January 6th, we got the hostages out. They're out.
Yeah.
A lot of people who shouldn't have been in there, but they're out. We got them out, and nobody got them out faster. We got them out so quickly. We were sworn in, and then we started signing. You know, my wrist, I have to tell you something, and this is going to be, this is big. Okay, well, I signed so many executive orders, my wrist hurts more than Jeffrey Toobin on a Zoom call. You know what I'm talking about, right? It hurts. It hurts a lot, right? It hurts a lot. But you look at it, or maybe it hurts more than Mark Zuckerberg looking at the person that Jeff Bezos brought to the inauguration. You saw that? They call him a peeping Tom. Look at the eyes, right? You saw him looking. He wasn't supposed to look. You're not supposed to look, but he was looking. I would never do that, by the way.
No.
I would never do that. And if I did that, I'd be wearing the hat that Melania was wearing so they wouldn't see me doing it, right? You know that?
Yes, yes.
He looked like hot Carmen Sandiego. You look at her. And I found Carmen Sandiego. I found her before anybody else found her. They said, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? I found her. And turns out she's my wife, right? Carmen Sandiego, Melania. Beautiful person. What a wonderful person. Elegant person. But you see the J6, we got the hostages out. We got them out. Yep. And we signed those executive orders. We also signed the executive order to get the pro-lifers out. So we're getting all of the people who shouldn't be in out, just like the bad hombres. They shouldn't be in. We're getting them out, too. So, but not out of prison, out of our country. So we're doing a very good job. I could say maybe a great job, maybe a fantastic job. Many people are saying a phenomenal job. Our approval ratings are through the roof. We're doing very well. And my presidency is off to a fantastic start. You know, I'm doing a great job, a much better job than Sean Hannity did interviewing me. He was lopping up, and he wouldn't shut up. Right? He wouldn't stop interrupting me. It was like being interviewed by the fake news. He wouldn't stop. I said to him, are we going to let me talk? What are we doing here? I'm going to get Tom Holman to deport Sean Hannity if he doesn't stop. Close my mouth, right? Yeah. The soup cooler. Yeah. Call it a soup cooler. We have to get him out. But we're doing a fantastic job. I have to say that.
I agree. Hannity's a pain in the ass. He has to go. All right. So let's get to Elon Musk and the first media hoax of your second term. The Nazi salute seen around the world. They don't learn, do they, Mr. President?
Well, they want to talk about Elon. They want to talk about he's a Nazi, you know. And what a stupid thing to say. Another stupid people. More stupid people that are coming out. They said it was a Nazi salute. They took the audio out. They said it was a Nazi salute. You know, Tim Walz did the Nazi salute with his leg. He kept lifting his leg in the air. Stupid guy. And he had a run-in with a horse or something. I don't know. We heard a whole thing about it. Stupid. But, you know, he made the same gesture. He touched his heart, and then he waved to the crowd, and they said, oh, that's beautiful joy. Elon does it. They say he's a Nazi. What a stupid thing. But and we did not see that coming. You see what I did there? We did not see that. But we actually did see it coming because they always do that. Yeah. These are stupid people. And they keep going back to the same thing. It didn't work, right?
Yep.
We had Madison Square Garden. They said it was a Nazi rally. It wasn't a Nazi rally. It was a beautiful rally. And they said horrible things about us after that. Tony Hinchcliffe talked about Puerto Rico. And they said bad things. And then crooked Joe Biden called the entire country garbage. What a stupid guy. And he's out. But we call him now, you know what the left used to call me? We call him now the former guy. That's what we call him. We call him the former guy. But you look at it, these are stupid people, and they're making a hoax out of nothing, which is what they always do. It's either Russia, 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 or Nazi, 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 or something stupid. Elon is a nice guy, and he has a Diet Coke button, too, by the way. He loves his Diet Coke. He said it yesterday. And we're pushing that button like nobody's ever seen before. You know, my throat gets dry when I have to answer questions with a rabid pack of hyenas in the Oval Office. You know, the fake news media, they're sitting there with their cameras. They're yelling. They're screaming. They're behaving like animals. You know, sooner or later, we're going to deport them too. Get out of my office, we're going to say, unless you behave. But these people, you know, you think they've gone as far as they've gone. And they go even further, and they call Elon Musk. Even the ADL said Elon Musk did nothing wrong. That should tell you something.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of the tech bros, from Elon Musk to Mark Zuckerberg to Jeff Bezos, how about Zuckerberg staring at Bezos' girlfriend and her boobs at your inauguration? Your thoughts on that?
Well, it never should have happened. And I would never do something like that, like I said. And if I did, I'd be wearing the hat. Nobody would know about it. But that's the reason why Facebook was created, right? To look at pictures and things, right? That's the whole reason. Mark Zuckerberg knows that. He invented it for college people. But he was doing that. You shouldn't do that, right? Mark, you shouldn't do that. I never get caught doing that. I get caught on tape saying things, but I don't get caught on tape looking, right? You know? And he was looking. And he looked again and again, and he kept looking. It's incredible. You know, I thought maybe he was going to bring out binoculars to start really looking at it, but he didn't do it. What a bad move. But the inauguration was great, right? It was a tremendous inauguration. But you look at Zuckerberg taking a peek. They call it taking a peek. And, you know, he was fascinated by it, like I was fascinated with the letter from Crooked Joe. And the letter said some crazy things, right? The nice things that Peter Doocy talked about, that was in there, but nobody wants to talk about. Crooked Joe confessed a lot in that letter. He said that he did indeed poop in front of the Pope, and he said he called it his civic duty. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Duty, duty, duty.
He dropped it, just like the sanctimonious, right? who we like now a lot.
It's true.
We like Ron DeSantis a lot, because I'll tell you what, he put out an executive order about the winter storm, and he called it the Gulf of America. You have England who says they're not going to call it that. Nobody cares what you're calling it. You still have a king and a queen. Nobody cares what you're calling it. You have a Muslim problem in your country. A lot of people. You have a grooming gang problem in your country. A lot of people doing bad things. There's bigger problems than the Gulf of America for England. I can tell you that. Nobody cares. We stopped caring what they think in 1776 when General George Washington and General George Santos at the Battle of Saratoga fought and won. George Santos was dancing. He was a drag queen on the battlefield. Great guy. Knew him very well. Never should have been expelled from Congress, but those are stupid people, too. Which is why we're signing an executive order to mandate a certain level IQ. You have to have above a room temperature IQ to serve in Congress. We have to get rid of the stupid people. But you have these executive orders. You have Mark Zuckerberg, the letter from Crooked Joe Biden. He confessed a lot. He also confessed the reason why he gave the Pope the medal is because of Operation Tootsie Roll and Operation Charleston Chew. He did it two times. He said that was very brave. He almost gave him a bronze star for taking fire in combat, you know. But you look at that. We had a tremendous time. We're very happy to be back in the Oval Office. Wow. I can tell you that.
Sean Farish has Donald J. Trump absolutely on fire. Stay tuned. Farish will stay with us for a long time here. We're going to get to Sean's thoughts on the WEF's admission of defeat yesterday, deportations, declassification of files, Nashville with that school shooting. We have another update on that, AI Stargate, and also banning of flags by Donald Trump at the State Department. A lot to hit on, and Sean will comment on all of it when we come back. Stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
What is this now? Almost 11 weeks since the election. You know, it's one thing to defeat the Democrats, and with that comes the media because they're in lockstep together. But boy, when you get the World Economic Forum together for their annual charade in Davos, and they come out and say, Trump defeated us, he's back in power, greatest comeback of all time, we lost. I mean, when you're getting globalists to say, you know what, we're on the wrong side of the ledger right now, that's pretty big. I think that should be the number one story in the media today, and I'm not sure that it's being highlighted enough.
Yeah, I was excited to watch Trump at the World Economic Forum yesterday. Just lighten them all up, especially the CEO of Bank of America, who's like now bizarrely pretending he didn't do what he did to so many people with the debanking and the discrimination. And it wasn't just Bank of America who did this. And it wasn't just J6ers who it happened to. I know a small business owner here in Tennessee, PayPal did something like this to him. And he, I think, was also a Bank of America customer or client, whatever you want to call him, or account holder. Great guy. He makes these big wooden flags that, you know, you can hang on the wall and whatnot, big American flags. And it's they're amazing products. And he was, I think, donating to a January 6th defense fund somewhere. And they said, oh, you know, you're this is a shady business. We're going to pause. And PayPal withheld like $100,000 from his business and whatnot. It was just insane. But these people pretending like that didn't happen is just bizarre. Bank of America, oh, conservatives are welcome. No, you said they weren't welcome. That's why John Rich and so many people, you know, left. And John Rich started Old Glory Bank. And, you know, the parallel economy is now flourishing. You got Rumble accepting Bitcoin pay. I mean, there's all sorts of great stuff. Thank you to the left for overplaying your hand to that extent, because now we've created really our own ecosystem in which we can thrive. And there's obviously a market for it. I mean, just look at the results of the election. But watching Trump go to the World Economic Forum yesterday and just light it up and basically tell the globalists, yeah, you know, we're going to put America first. And you could be a part of that if you want. You could bring your businesses to America. You'll get a really friendly tax rate. But if you decide you don't want to do that, we're going to tax the snot out of you. You know, it's the policies that you like to levy on our people. Right. All of these people are high taxes. They're going to pay Bernie Sanders, going to pay their fair share. You know, all these people, right, want to talk about their fair share. They're not paying any taxes, or at least, you know, they're quote unquote fair share. I've never met a liberal. You know, you could talk to these people who are all about high taxes, right? And you go, you know, you can send the government more money than you're supposed to every year on your when you file your taxes. You can do that. Or if you get a refund, you know, you could just tell the government you don't want it. Do you do that? No, I don't do that. Why? Well, because it's my money. Oh, okay. So you don't want the government taking more money? You know, if you're writing a tax check for however much money it is per year, you could write them more. The government's not going to come back and say, hey, I think you gave us a little too much. You know, they're going to take it. They're going to run with it. You know, so these people who are all about high taxes, I say, well, why don't you start? Start the trend. Mm-hmm. Start a movement. I paid more in taxes than I was. Virtue signal over that instead of sticking your fist in the air screaming, say her name. Right. You know, I mean, do something that matters. Right. Put your money where your mouth is. None of them ever do. I love watching the globalists. They were all wetting themselves yesterday at the World Economic Forum because they know Donald Trump. Not only is he going to be an America First president as he was in his first term, but the guy means business now. You could tell he came in there with a huge, massive chip on his shoulder. And that's the guy I want in charge. He really is. I loved watching that yesterday.
Yeah, it has been great. And nothing probably better so far in less than five business days than Tom Homan and ICE. I mean, when we started talking about Trump putting together his nominees, his appointments, his cabinet, whatever it was, I had Tom Homan and ICE right at the top, followed by Doge. It looks like Doge is at least 50% disintegrated in less than a couple of days. You know, Vivek's going to be off doing his thing in Ohio. You know, who knows what's going on there. But, man, Tom Homan has come up aces, almost 1,000 already. You've got Haitian immigrants that have committed 17 different crimes, dropping F-bombs. Your thoughts on what you've seen so far with these raids, specifically what Bill Malusian was, you know, a part of as he was riding along in Boston.
Yeah, well, you saw MS-13 getting cleaned up, and I think a bunch of Tren de Aragua, you know, they're Tren de, we call them Tren de Adios or Tren de Afuera. Afuera! Right. Tren de afuera. Out. That's what that means. Goodbye. Yeah. Tren de goodbye. Tren de adios. It's great. It's wonderful. It looks they're making it look easy. And how funny is this? Right. Tom Homan, as border czar, he's been border czar for what? 4 days? Mm-hmm. 3.5 days?
Yep.
Has done more work as the border czar for 3.5 days than Kamala Harris did as border czar for 4 years. Yeah. I mean, it's nuts.
I know.
Right?
It is.
And did you see her? By the way, did you see Kamala Harris in Los Angeles the other day?
Grocery shopping. Oh, firefighter. No,
she had a press conference, which is the first time she's ever had one of those. The fork came out. She said, oh, you know, we're with the fork. We always have the fork ready.
There it is.
With the
word salad.
She said, yes, the word salad. She said, we're with the firefighters and it's all about, you know, strangers forming a community. And that's the strength of the community is when people can come together. That's how a community forms. I'm like, here we go again. How is she going to run for another office? It's just unreal. But, you know, as border czar for 4 years, she did nothing. Tom Homan has already outworked her and he's only been in the job officially for 3 days. It's amazing. And I expect to see these numbers ramp up as they get more and more organized. And I'm fine with it. You know, start with the violent criminals, like triage it. They're obviously priority number one, get the violent criminals out. But I want them all out. The only acceptable number of illegal immigration is zero. And that's what it is. We have to work to get to that. Is it ever going to be perfect? No. But we got to get as close as possible. I think we've got a great start the last 3.5 days with Homan.
I absolutely agree. Sean Farris joining us as he does every Friday from Nashville, Tennessee. So let's get to the other big story from yesterday. Donald Trump pulling out that magical Sharpie, declassifying the files of JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King Jr. Do you think we will learn any bombshell revelations? And if so, in which of the three files do you think it will be?
Well, Trump said everything's going to be revealed, but I don't know how much is redacted, right? And, you know, truthfully, I personally am more interested in Thomas Matthew Crooks than any of that, but I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of it, right?
That's
considering
the guy who's
in charge is the one who is directly, you know, targeted by that. But, you know, I think I guess all three, but JFK and MLK to me seem to be the two that, you know, the biggest conspiracies are kind of flying. I say conspiracies not to like demean anybody. Something is up there, just like something was up with Thomas Matthew Crooks. You can't tell me that a 20-year-old kid who worked in a nursing home learned how to encrypt his phone so much that the FBI couldn't get in and, you know, all of a sudden had access to all this technology. He was obviously working with someone and they don't want us to know about it. But the JFK assassination, the RFK assassination, the MLK assassination. We should know what was behind it. I mean, if it was a quote unquote lone wolf or somebody acting alone and wasn't tied to the intel agencies, I guess we'll know. And if it was, I guess we'll know, unless the documents, of course, have been amended between, you know, then and now. We'll see. I'm excited to see this step forward for transparency's sake. Let's get this information out, and then we'll go down the Epstein list, you know, when we can start to really open things up and let the people know what's going on, because we're in the dark. You know, we may feel like we know things, but we're in the dark, and that's not right. It's supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, and we're not being treated that way. We're not being given any information. You know, we're being actively lied to, and the truth is being suppressed. And we find out that the government has one story. You know, China, COVID came from a bat in a bowl of Campbell's chicken noodle soup. And we were like, no, I think it came from a lab. They were like, no, you're not allowed on the internet now. And now we found out that it came from a lab. So we'll see what these give us. Hopefully there's not that many redactions, and, you know, the truth can get out.
9 o'clock hour underway. It's brought to you by Robert Half as we continue with Sean Farish. So earlier this week, we had another school shooting in Tennessee, actually in Antioch. If I was still living in Nashville, my girls technically would have attended that high school when they got to that age, having lived probably only about 3.5 miles, I believe. I MapQuested it a few days ago. Wasn't too far away from where we used to live. And now we find out, we knew right away that it was a black male that committed the shooting. But now, according to reports from the Daily Mail, he was a Nazi sympathizer. He admired Hitler, and he also was a subscriber on the same viewpoint when we talk about Israel versus the Middle East, that Candace Owens was a big influencer for him. And so it doesn't matter to me whether it's the left spewing this hatred for Jews or Candace Owens, who's certainly on the right, but she has been in the minority on the right as far as who's the good guy, who's the bad guy here. I think this is really, once again, worth reiterating. When you have young, impressionable, or mentally ill, unstable people, and they hear this anti-Semitism and this dangerous rhetoric, what can happen? You're down there. I know you're probably, I don't know, 25, 30 miles from that high school. What's it been like in that state, in really in that region with this story again? Because we're only year and a half removed from the Coventry shooting.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? So here we go. So the Covenant, and this is my first thing that we could point out, right? If it wasn't for Michael Patrick Leahy and the Tennessee Star, we still wouldn't know anything about the Covenant shooter. Okay. But we found out again that this guy was allegedly right wing, you know, 24 hours after the, I just sounded like the Ramones, 24 hours after the shooting took place, we know all about this guy. So every time, you know, it's a quote unquote right wing person, we know immediately. And every time it's not, we don't know anything. Right. Regardless of that, you know, whoever commits the act is wrong. I'm not going to blame Candace Owens. I don't agree with what she said. I mean, she blames the Jews for everything. She steps on a Lego in the morning. Clearly a Jew broke into her house and put it on the floor. Like that's how it gets with her. And it's ridiculous, you know?
Yep.
And I put a comment up a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, well, how long until Candace Owens blames the wildfires in California for the Jews? And I had people in my mentions, well, you know, it really was them. I was
like, gosh.
Go away. Like, could you stop? Like, how is everything the Jews' fault? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, listen, no group of people is perfect. I understand you have issues with the globalism and the Rothschilds and some of the liberal policies of the government of Israel. Fine. Let's not blame all Jewish people for all of your problems, because one guy did that and it resulted in a really bad thing. Okay. And then, we don't know if that happened. Yes, we do. Where did the people go if it didn't happen? I mean, we really got to slow down. Some of these people, they get so wrapped up in this. You mean like Andrew Tate, who I can't stand. I think that guy is a scumbag. And I think MAGA, there's people in MAGA who think he's a great guy, always says nice things. Listen to him for a half hour, then come back. We can have a conversation, because it looks like he did some real bad stuff to a 15-year-old, and we'll see what happens there. Ew. But anyway, regardless, okay, because it's all on video, regardless of that, this guy who went in the school and, you know, he committed the shooting. First, when I heard it happen in Antioch, I don't mean this in a bad way. Not the best area of Tennessee.
Bad.
So I wasn't that surprised. Then I hear that he's a right wing guy. all right, you know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. It is what it is. I think he was mentally unstable. And I think this comes down to, you know, again, we have a problem in the country with mental health and the education system. You know, we always see it's always these kids. It's not, you know, 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds walking into a school and doing it. It's the kids. So something's going on with our youth that is driving them to this position. And it's not Candace Owens and it's not, you know, Rachel Maddow. It's what we're feeding them literally in the food, the lessons that they're learning in school, the content that they may be consuming on social media, not necessarily from the influencers, but the apps, the social media. You know, there were a lot less school shootings when my friends and me, we went out, played pickup football every day.
Amen.
You know, we were healthy.
Yep.
We spoke, we socialized, we weren't gaming, we weren't doing the death scroll on TikTok. I'm fine with all those apps. I don't even want TikTok banned. I'm just saying, you know, maybe society needs to rethink the way we're approaching our youth, where so many people, I've seen it, you know, in the airport, the parent just throws their kid an iPad and leaves them alone. What, do you know what they're consuming? Do you know what algorithms and how they're playing with their minds? I mean, this is what's happening. Again, it's always children and students and folks under the age of 18 that are coming out or younger folks that are coming out there and committing these shootings. You don't ever see it. It's not usually these older folks, right? So it's just bizarre, right? It's just bizarre, and it's a disturbing trend. That's the thing that we need to address. Not necessarily should Candace Owens now be deplatformed because of what she said and she radicalized. No, she should not be deplatformed. I don't want anybody to be deplatformed. I condemn the things that she says, okay? The best way to discredit bad speech is to counter it with good speech, yeah, so that you have more speech, and the best speech rises to the top and the worst falls to the bottom and down by the wayside. We don't have to deplatform anybody. We just talked about that with Bank of America and PayPal, mm-hmm, how that was bad, right? And the same thing on the left. You know, I don't think Rachel Maddow should be taken off the air because I disagree with her, because the things that she says are untrue. You see what's happening. People are realizing she's full of crap and her ratings are in the tank, and Joy Reid's ratings are in the tank, right? So, you know, that's the way it works. Let the market work its way out. But I think we have to really address what's going on with the youth in the country nationwide. They're struggling. Something is poisoning their minds, and we got to get to the bottom of it.
Speaking of poisoned minds, so far in 24 days of this calendar year, or 4 days of Trump's second term, the Democrats' rally cries so far collectively are, no human is, quote, illegal, Elon is a Nazi, oh my God, ICE is going to go into schools, and how dare you pardon people from January 6th. None of that will win you an election in 2026 or 2028. And then, speaking of Elon and staying on the Nazi subject, Benjamin Netanyahu comes out and defends Elon Musk, saying that he is being falsely smeared. Do you think they're ever going to learn? Because let's think about this. Slopidopoulos got hit for $15 million on ABC for defamation. NBC and CBS and CNN, Jake Tapper on down the list. All of these networks are losing defamation suits to the tune of millions of dollars. If you're Elon Musk, do you just continue to laugh it off and mock them on X? Or do you actually sue these people? Because we're seeing precedent here where you're not going to be able to get away with slander, libel, and defamation these days in the media.
I say both, okay? You know what you do? You go on X, you push their buttons, you make them say stupid, defamatory things, and then you sue them over it. It's like fishing, right? You know, you put the lure out there, you hope a fish bites, you set the hook, you reel it in, you eat it, okay? That's what you do. I would love Elon Musk to do both. He knows what he's got to do now. He knows that if he does the quote-unquote Roman salute, or, you know, and the best part about that whole thing was, CNN put that up right when it happened and took the audio out.
Yep.
And was like, look what he did. You know, I'm not going to say it was the best idea to make a gesture that looks like, because we all know what it looks like.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it was the best idea to make that gesture, but the context matters. When you say my heart goes out, Tim Walz made the same gesture.
Yep.
Okay. That flailing goon. He did the same. I'm going to tap my heart and then flail my hands around. The only difference is he flailed and he didn't just hold his arm in one place, because he can't do that because he's a lunatic and he always has to, you know, impersonate the waving tube guy who has the sales at an auto yard or something. You know, sale here, right? That's Tim Walz. That's Tim Walz's spirit animal, is that guy.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, Walz made the same gesture. Where was the left? Is Tim Walz a Nazi now? I mean, I would say he has more characteristics closer to that of Nazis, the way he runs Minnesota, than Elon Musk. But hey, you know, who am I to judge? Look, I think if you're Elon, now I'm going to start baiting the left to make those defamatory comments. So we know there's now precedent that they will rule in Elon's favor. And I hope the left doesn't learn. They could bankrupt themselves doing this and they'll lose another election. It didn't work in 2024. Calling Trump and his supporters, MAGA, et cetera, Nazis and white supremacists and racists and bigots and transphobes and homophobes and Russian assets, they're still doing it. It didn't work in 2024. Not only didn't it work in 24, it didn't work in 2016, but that was a close one, right? It didn't work in 2024. Trump swept the swing states and won the popular vote by all. Sun Tzu, I think, said it. Never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. They're making a huge mistake, okay? Yep. It's why the NFL doesn't go to the Jets and force Woody Johnson to sell, because they know that's a win every week, right? It's why none of the other NFL teams are like, hey, bench Zach Wilson. No, they want to play against Zach Wilson because he throws them the ball, yeah. Right? So it's like, you know, you look at it. Now, I'm not going to tell them to stop. I'm going to laugh. I want them to continue. It just makes them look more and more ridiculous because you don't see people on their side of the aisle calling it out. They're all like, oh, yeah, we got him now. Elon is a Nazi. Look at the gesture. Well, play the audio. He says, my heart goes out to you. Obviously, that's what he's doing. He's not saying, as AOC said, Sig Hail. I don't know who that is, by the way. Is that the captain of the Northwestern on Deadliest Catch? No, that's Sig Hansen. I'm sitting there going, these people are broken.
Yeah.
And they look ridiculous, and they don't think they look ridiculous. You know what? I hope they keep going because that's a losing formula, and I like when they lose.
Great stuff as always, buddy. Woo! Thank you so much. We'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good.
You got it. Hey, Sean buddy. Farish live from Nashville, Tennessee, 9 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI strategy to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. We will come back, get to all of the bells and whistles that you typically have come accustomed to love in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll do that on the other side. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app. The Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Big 3 at 9, sponsored this morning by Meineke. So much happening today. By the way, Trump, remember, he told us that he would be in North Carolina today in the Carolinas, hurricane-ravaged victims and survivors, and then tomorrow in L.A. Let's talk about it. A man's actions July 13th here in Pennsylvania in Butler helped earn a prominent role in the Trump administration. President Donald J. Trump announcing his selection of Sean Curran, one of those agents we saw rushing the stage during the assassination attempt targeting President Trump, then candidate Trump, here in Pennsylvania. He will serve as director of the Secret Service during the new Trump administration.
I believe he was the one who shielded Trump. When you look at the formation of agents and where they were positioned in that hectic moment, he was the guy right out in front.
Yeah, and I mean, a ton of experience, Trump calling him a great patriot. You kind of saw that one coming, I guess. But Sean Curran, 23 years of experience working in the Secret Service.
Yes.
So he's now the lead guy.
So he is now in the place of Ronald Rowe, who was interim or acting in place of Kimberly Cheadle.
Yes. Got it. And Kim Cheadle, remember, she was she not Jill Biden's Secret Service person?
Yes. Yeah.
But she then certainly didn't have the experience of, let's say, Sean Curran with, you know what I mean, with 23 years. So she left, went into the private sector. Good for her. But it was Jill Biden who had a relationship with
her. Yes. Kimberly Cheadle will actually go back to restocking vending machines. She's actually filling up the Odyssey Kitchen one right now
because
we're out of the party mix.
Yep.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, oh no.
I did not.
Party
Do
mix.
Not eat food out of a vending machine.
Just have a party mix from time. Live a little bit.
Of any vending machine.
Processed. It's nasty.
Crap. I love the Doritos in there.
Doritos. Oh,
yeah,
God.
The nacho ones in there. Mm. Oh. I don't really care. I don't really care for the pretzels as much in the party mix. We all go for like the Dorito one.
We have the March for Life in D.C. today. Thousands of pro-life advocates, and this is every year, the March for Life, as they will be addressed by President Trump. I believe that this will be by a video Zoom, because remember, he's headed. I believe he's already heading. He has other duties and has to head to North Carolina and meet with the hurricane ravaged zone. So I don't think he will be in person from all the scheduling that I'm seeing in D.C.
I just love the fact that Trump's making everybody go back to work and he's using Zoom.
Yeah, that's a good point. That he's using Zoom the way we all should use it.
Yes.
And that is to be in two places at once.
There you go.
While you're in person.
Right.
You know, that's a great point. So also I should mention that yesterday ahead of this, President Donald J. Trump pardoning dozens of pro-life advocates convicted, you may say persecuted, by Joe Biden's Department of Justice, and many of them praying inside or demonstrating at abortion clinics. And many of them are senior citizens, like New Jersey grandmother Joan Bell. Mrs. Bell, 76-year-old Catholic woman, sentenced to 2 years in prison for praying and demonstrating outside of an abortion clinic. And so I know that as of last evening, she still was not out of prison. So she's just pardoned.
I just saw a video last night of one African-American lady that was in this story that you're talking about, reuniting with, I don't know if it was her granddaughter or her child, couldn't have been more than 5 years old. And it was pretty good.
Yeah. So to your point, I mean, many of these people, moms, parents themselves or grandparents, senior citizens, elderly, etc. And so Trump had said it was his great honor that these people never should have been sentenced to actual prison time. And Biden's DOJ at the time, if you remember, said that they deserve the prison sentences up to 3 years in prison for, quote, unlawfully obstructing access to reproductive health services. Remember, that was the charge that locally the Catholic pastor and husband, Mark Houck, locally, Bucks County.
Well, then based on that logic, those of you that are protesting for Gaza and illegally obstructing the ability for me to get from point A to point B, then you should go to jail too, right? I mean, if we're being consistent with obstruction of free will movement, you know, I don't know, that's just the way I think.
Well, that's a great point. But I don't know if any of the people will be there at the protest. What are you laughing at?
What?
Me?
Greg Stocker.
No,
oh, I thought you were laughing at me.
Coughed.
I'm sorry, my nose is running.
Your nose is running.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, jeez.
What else is new?
Where's my Pokemon? There have been multiple protests related to Pokemon, including, and this was a Costco.
Yeah, we have
it's
this
hysterical.
Video. We have this video. Phil, this is, where is this? Do you have the Costco video?
I know, I
video?
Just lost my thing because I had it in my phone. So I
can't believe, A, that this is happening at a Costco.
Oh, Ronnie!
Look at these people.
Look at it.
Like they're fighting for the last PlayStation on Black Friday.
This is at a Costco, and there's, what, a new Pokemon card out or something?
There's like a big, it's like a pack.
I didn't know that Pokemon was still
like
a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Look at these losers.
Look, it's just these animals.
Now you see why I shop from home.
Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this.
It's like a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
Disgraceful. Disgraceful people.
So I think that at stores across the country, but I think this one that you're showing was in Southern California as these brawls were breaking out at Costco's and these stores.
Can't we live in a civilized country? Like,
no.
Seriously.
No.
What was the backstory? Like, they were, these Pokemon things went on sale?
Yes, these collectible card games, and in these, it was sort of a collectible packet, if you will, and so it was a special collectible packet, and that's why it looks a little bigger in the
limited
box.
Limited quantity release.
Yes, and they want these special Pokemon boxes with collectible card games inside. I don't know. There were guys with a tug of war. They started. There was a brawl. They started literally fighting.
Yeah. What do you think the ratio is, or the percentage of grown men that collect Pokemon that are still virgins?
What do you think?
40-year-old virgins.
What do you think the average IQ score was
12.
For those people?
See, and Trump sees that, and he says, excuse me, I have a lot of collectibles. Ugh. You could get those.
Yeah.
Don't get Pokemon.
No.
But I don't see serious injuries across the country, but the fact that, to your point, these were not kids, these were not children, these were not teenagers, these were like grown A-men
mm-hmm. yeah.
with beards fighting like
yeah.
girls,
yeah.
even though girls can fight better than them. It was really hysterical.
It is. It's just a joke.
I have a full mustache and a beard.
So anyway, we got that going. Meineke, thank you for sponsoring the Big Three. When you step on your brakes, do you hear that squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Their expert techs are going to diagnose the problem, find a location near you. Meineke.com, Big Three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, a little bit left on the cut sheet. We'll try to see what Meat Stocker still has on the bone, and then we'll get to Today in Music History.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. Let's stick with TikTok, shall we? Do we have to?
If you say so.
This woman is very upset that Trump ended her environmental justice gig with his DEI band. So I guess she was an environmental justice warrior?
Yes. It's similar to a social justice warrior, but it's kind of got like a little climate change vibe to it, I
gotcha,
think.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah. All right, roll this nutcase.
Okay. So today I was supposed to be leading a training about environmental justice for a national agency, but it was canceled. An hour before it started.
That sucks.
Why? Well, because the new federal guidelines from the Trump administration ban not only DEI trainings, but also any trainings or programs about environmental justice. And they're not stopping there. These policies go further, rolling back protections for our water, land, opening the floodgates to drilling, silencing those that are fighting for justice in any form. And to make matters worse, they're demanding a list of contractors like me who provide DEI and environmental justice trainings. And to be honest, it's terrifying.
It's called Doge, babe. Get used to it. You got Doged. D-O-G-E-D. No more stupid spending on terrible ideas. You weren't silenced. We just played you. Nobody said you can't share your thoughts on the government. Government's not saying you can't talk about it. We're just not going to pay you to do a bunch of nonsense. That's all that really was. And remember, it was Mayor Pete. Never forget. Remember when Mayor Pete said that some roadways are inherently racist?
Mm-hmm.
That is, I believe, under the whole environmental justice platform. Nothing wrong with getting doged. We all get doged eventually.
It would stink, though, if you went to school for and you created this whole persona where you're a specialist in training for DEI, and then you go and all these companies are bidding over your salary and fighting for you. You make this six-figure salary, and then they go, meh, we're getting rid of that training program.
Yeah.
I got news for you, lady. I walked out of college with a four-year degree. I was offered $6.50 an hour. Yeah, sometimes you get squashed.
Or, like Dawn's point, like you make yourself, you know.
What training did she go through, by the way? There's no college majors in DEIs.
Are there?
What did I get, a bachelor's degree in DEI? No, you didn't. You might have attended some training.
Yeah.
Or you took a course in it. There's no undergraduate degrees in DEI. If there is, defund that school right away.
Yeah, like me, if, you know, if they get rid of me here, I'll go across the street and make that failed radio station that's in 100th place. I'll make that a top 10 radio station.
Because
just
like
you
would
I did
pivot.
To this one.
Yes, because you would pivot, and then you'd work like, you know, you say, I work like a dog. You could just fire like 10 people. I'll take all their jobs and reinvent you.
Take that 0.3 and turn it into something huge. Trump says that Zelensky is syndicated now. Okay.
What?
We've seen how that works for radio hosts. Oh. Morning radio hosts on the station all think that they can get syndicated and then it's going to be the big career. It's going to be the big career move for them. And then, look where they happen.
How do my teeth look, by the way?
They go to SiriusXM. They go to other failed radio networks, and they're never heard from again.
What did you do to your teeth?
I just wondered, do my teeth look nice?
It's a joke.
Did you do whitening?
No. I use Sensodyne.
Trump says that Zelensky is ready to negotiate a deal. This is cut 11. Mm-hmm. Phil, he said this in his press conference last night. Roll it.
You said that Ukraine's ready to make a deal. Did President Zelensky tell you that?
Yeah, sure. He's ready to negotiate a deal. He'd like to stop. He's
made his
somebody
money.
That lost a lot of soldiers. And so did Russia. Lost a lot. Russia lost more soldiers. They lost 800,000 soldiers. Would you say that's a lot? I'd say it's a lot.
Yeah, this was kind of an under-the-radar story about a day or two ago. The Wall Street Journal was first to report that Trump has tasked retired Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg to be the special envoy to Ukraine with his main objective of ending the Russia-Ukraine war in 100 days. Trump also posting on Truth that we've seen enough bloodshed, enough lives have been lost. And honestly, and I said that kind of just tongue-in-cheek as that clip was beginning to play, you think Zelensky's good with that? Okay, now all of a sudden, you know, I've made my money. I've had all the billions that Joe has handed me. Yeah, sure. This thing will be... We're actually coming up on the three-year mark, I think a month from today? I think it started February 24th, 2022.
Wow, look at you.
I know it was February of 2022.
Do you have it marked on a calendar or something?
No, I'm just a sharp tack.
What are you, like Kavanaugh? You keep the calendars?
I have a photographic memory.
One more here on the Trump press conference. He was asked about the Elon Musk shading, you know, the other AI, the AI deal. Everybody jumped to the conclusion that this was Elon shading Trump, but it was actually Elon shading one of the AI owners.
Okay.
Roll it. 23.
Does it bother you that Elon Musk criticized a deal that you made publicly that he said that he tweeted that?
No, it doesn't. He hates one of the people in the deal.
So. Have you spoken to him since then?
No. I've spoken to Elon, but I've spoken to all of them, actually. No, the people in the deal are very, very smart people. But Elon, one of the people he happens to hate, but I have certain hatreds of people, too.
Sir. You know? Sir, on China, what do you think Xi Jinping can do on the Ukraine-Russia war?
Which one?
The Ukraine-Russia war. What can Xi Jinping do about that?
China?
Yeah.
They have a lot of power over Russia. They supply energy to Russia. And Russia supplies energy to them. They supply other things to, you know, it's really a very big trade. It's a very big trading partner. But
shocking. A lot of competitive type A alpha egotistical billionaire males that don't like each other. Get ready for that to happen multiple times, whether it's embellished through the media or it's actually truthful. It'll happen probably 13,000 more times in the next 4 years.
McCausland Locke, should we get to that on the other side?
Yeah, I feel very good about this pick.
Uh-oh.
Is anybody willing to pick the rookie quarterback?
What's the line?
Six?
Is it? Is it?
Okay. Five and a half-ish.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Everything's ish on this show.
Ish.
That way you can't pin us down ever. We can always wiggle out the back door. Kale and Company, today in music history, Eagles pick, music, movies, everything you need, plus what's on tap for the Dawn Show as we wind it down next.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Phil Almquist, what occurred today in music history, sir?
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. Kale and Company.
Today, January 24th, we celebrate the birthdays of Michael Kiske from Halloween, who's 57. Matthew, come on, I love Halloween. Matthew Wilder, who's 72, and Aaron Neville and Neil Diamond, who are both 84. Heavenly birthday shout-outs to John Belushi as well as Warren Zevon. We also lost Butch Trucks from the Allman Brothers on this day in 2016. Singles include Long Time by Boston in 77. Albums include Skid Row's debut in 89. Balanced by Van Halen in 95. Rise by Revolution Saints. And Aurora by Breaking Benjamin in 2020. As well as a Teal album by Weezer in 2019. Also in 1999, The Offspring were atop the UK singles chart. In 92, Nirvana played their very first show. In 83, Speak of the Devil by Ozzy is certified gold. In 69, The Doors appeared at MSG. And on the same day, Jethro Tull played their first American show, opening for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. In 62, Brian Epstein signed a management deal with the Beatles. In 91, The Cure filmed their MTV Unplugged special. In 2024, Bring Me to Life by Evanescence surpassed 1 billion streams on Spotify. And in 82, Diana Ross sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl in Detroit. But lastly, on this day in 2018, Elton John announced his retirement from touring, ending with a 5-year farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. And yes, I did see that tour in New York a couple years ago. So good. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable work. Where are you getting that sort of wisdom anywhere else on broadcast radio? All right. McCausland locks. NFC Championship. Philadelphia Eagles. Washington Redskins. Yeah, I'm going to call them the Redskins. If you want to call them the Commanders, call them whatever the hell you'd like. Doesn't matter. Sunday at 6:30, they're going to be called losers, as in they're done.
3 o'clock. Oh, 6:30.
Yep, when that game wraps up, it'll be over.
You're smarter than I am today.
Philadelphia, 6-point favorites, the over-under 47.5. I noticed that this is absolutely an Eagles line, but yet 68% of the betting public is taking Washington. So smart people in Vegas say Philly. Stupid people in America say Washington. Always go with the smart people. Double whammy here. Philly 31, Washington 20. Jalen Carter will eat like Chris Christie at a Golden Corral.
I will do 26-24, Birds. 26-24. They will win barely, but not cover the spread.
Okay. Phil Omquist, Dawn Stensland. Who wants to go next?
Dawn.
I'll do it. I will say Eagles. I'm going to go high. 30, this is going to be wrong, but I'm going to go high. Eagles 35, Commanders 31.
I actually like that. I think the over is a lock at 47.5. Philip?
Well, you did talk about stupid people. There are 100 Eagles fans who are stupid people who bought the $50 snow. So, because of that, I'm taking Washington 31, Eagles 24, It's going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Oh, no.
That is the analysis we all anticipated. It's going to happen. Going to happen. All right.
Who will be the closest? McCall's on lock. Thank
that's
you.
That's right. The Dawn Show coming up next, and we find out what she has lined up just 7 minutes from now.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll give you the latest locally, regionally on these ice baby crackdowns. What does that mean for us in this region? We'll talk about that. Kathy Barnett, every Friday Kathy comes on, we talk about, because the Kathy Barnett show is on Saturday, but I will say that, you know, today being the DC Pro-Life Celebration Day, and all of those, you know, all of those individuals, pro-lifers like Mark Houck, who was, you know, persecuted, we'll talk to her about that, but something that she had put out on social media where she seemed to be critical of this DEI thing to say, well, how are they going to go around and fire DEI individuals? You know, are they going to go around and just say, well, you're a black lady, you're fired. So I don't know. You could see some fireworks between us. I don't know what she meant by that.
Okay.
We'll get through it all. But we have so much coming up and so much breaking. And reminder that Trump is traveling. So he may give some newsers, some of his pop-up newsers. And then he and Melania later tonight, our time, they're going to end up in California.
Okay.
Remember that.
All right.
So there's a lot of moving parts. We'll have all of it.
Trump will be in California later tonight. I will not be in California later tonight. I will be taking a nap. All right. Everybody have a great rest of your Friday. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is next. Enjoy the birds on Sunday, and we will see you Monday morning at 6 a.m. As Sherelle Parker would say, go!
E-L-E-S-E-S-E-G-O-S!
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.